Again, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're going to look at verse 6. Now, in the message, we're going to start in this verse and we're going to end in this verse. All the verses we read will be on the screen. So my New Year's suggestion for you is to stay in Matthew chapter 6 and take it easy. Amen. I anticipated preaching a different message, and I studied for that and prayed and felt convicted about starting with this for the new year, what it means to pray when you pray. We're going to look at the topic of prayer, but also look at the person of Jesus Christ to gain some valuable insights to what it means to pray. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse number 6 and read that. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We have this new day of the new year, this first Sunday. What would be the first topic from the pulpit? What's the resolution? That was the question as we were driving back last weekend. We took the weekend off as a family, went to another church, and as we were driving back, the kids asked me, what is your resolution? I don't make resolutions because I'm going to break them. For most people, resolutions in the new year revolve around going to the gym, being healthier. And I can tell you, those are not my resolutions, although I should abide by those. The reason being, I found out this morning I can't button my sports coat because I ate too much on Christmas break. And if you ask my kids, they'll say, he is not lying. That dude ate all of our good food. I ate a lot of Chex Mix. I testify to you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I ate way too much food. But our number one goal as a believer should not necessarily be bodily exercise, which Scripture says that's a good thing, but the parameter of godliness we aim for. And so I want to talk about prayer. There's this great reminder. We have this privilege to pray. And so we ask ourselves, how did Jesus pray? What did he do? So before we get into the topic of prayer, let's define prayer. Let's give a definition to that word, because sometimes when we talk about prayer, we talk about praise and thanks and confession and adoration and steps in prayer and openings and closing. But let me define prayer for today with Matthew chapter 6 with this. Prayer is spending time with God. You say, Pastor, that's not a very good definition. It's a wonderful definition that we just spend time with God the Father. Now, when we talk about spending time, I'm talking about spending time in a certain place where just you and your Heavenly Father meet together, nothing else, no one else. And I want to drive that point home with prayer, considering the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you four valuable insights to prayer we garner from the person of Jesus Christ, who teaches us how to pray. Mark chapter 1 will be where we begin drawing these from. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. This is during his ministry in Galilee. It says, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." Here's the first insight we garner from Jesus Christ. We need to pray on a regular basis. We need to pray ongoing on a regular basis. We see Jesus do this. Jesus would get up in the morning, and he would spend time with his Father. Fully God, yet fully man, and he still gave time for the divine appointment of devotion. He still had time in his schedule to pray. It says, and there he prayed On a regular basis, Jesus had time for prayer. Why is this? Because he made it a priority. He made it a priority. Now, when we talk about the New Year resolutions, people say, oh, I'm going to change my priorities. I'm going to join a gym. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to train for a 5K. Good luck. Now, the people that are prioritizing health, you know what? Almost always, you know what they do? They get up early. They get up early because they want to devote themselves to better health for 2024. Which, by the way, has anybody messed up and wrote down 2023 yet but me? I wrote my sermon notes four times and had to erase the date four times. Kid you not. But people prioritize things when they set a schedule and say, I'm going to get up early and do such and such. You say, well, I'm not a morning person. Does your boss feel that way if you show up late for work? Because we prioritize work. Or how many of us with families like, well, sorry, principal or teacher, we didn't feel like showing up for school because we're not morning people. Or tell your coach, I didn't really want to come to practice. I'm not really a practice kind of guy. I'll just show up whenever. You see, when we put things on our priority, we say, this is my number one goal before I do anything else. I'm going to set it aside and prioritize it. I was challenged in college about quiet times and devotion times. They said there's never been a spiritual giant who does his devotions in the evenings. How true that is, I don't know, but I know this. When you prioritize things, you put them first. Now, I'm going to say this about your prayer and devotion time. Whatever works for you, you need to do. The first church I was full-time pastor to students at, we had a deacon. His name was Larry Rice. His name was Larry. His last name wasn't Rice, excuse me. That was a fellow pastor's name. But Larry would get up, listen to this, at 3 o'clock in the morning to do his devotion time. He would do his devotion and then go back to bed and get up at 7 or 8. That does not work for most sane people. But if you prioritize your prayer devotion time and you have to do it in the evening, by all means, spend time with your Father. But Jesus prayed on a regular basis. He put it as a priority. And for him, and this is the way I've got to do it, I've got to do it in the morning. I've got to do that first thing. When I was in high school and in college, I worked at a restaurant. And we worked in the evening shift at a buffet house. Lots of dishes. Some evenings I'd get home at 11 or 12 at night because you're just washing so many dishes. We were always envious of the day shift or the morning crew. We thought, man, they've got it made. They got the best schedule. They go out and hang out with people at night and have fun. And here we are washing dishes late into the weekend. We were also envious of the cooks. Man, they get paid so much money. They got a better schedule. They get much more respect. Now, in thinking of the evening and the day shift, it's kind of like the minor leagues in baseball. But if you can make it to the day shift, it's like being called up to the show. That's the big time. That's the big leagues. One day, the manager slash owner of the restaurant said, hey, can you come and work in the morning? I thought, man, I've made it. He says, we need you to unload a truck. Like, great. And it's just as fun as it sounds, moving boxes of food. And one morning, it was still dark. There was one cook. This lady was older. And she worked there for years, and she'd be the first person at that restaurant. She had her own key, and she would come in and get everything prepped for the day. And I was talking with her after I got through unloading all these boxes. And I said, what time do you usually get here? She said, I get here about 4:30. I said, man, that's a early time to start working. She says, I will not work until I have my coffee and my cigarettes. And she pointed her finger at me like, I dare you to tell me otherwise. And I said, there's no way I'm going to stop you from having your coffee and your cigarettes. But for her, nicotine and caffeine were her priorities. I can tell a lot about your priorities by looking at your daily schedule. I can tell a lot about you with how much time you spend with the Lord or where it's at or if it's inconsistent. I can point through to the nature of your spirituality by looking at your prayer time. Jesus said, I want to pray on a regular basis. I'm going to make it happen. So what do you do when you get up in the morning? Do you check the news, check the stock market? Do you work out? Are you running late because you're not a quote unquote morning person? Nothing against you. But here's what Jesus did, how he prayed. He went to a desolate place. That word desolate pops up again and again when we talk about the prayer life of Jesus. It says he went to a desolate place, meaning no inhabitants. And sometimes in scripture, desolate is translated desert. He goes out to the desert. He goes to a desolate place to pray. He didn't want anyone else around him. I want that time to be between me and my Father. And I would say if you want to pray on a regular basis, you need to find a desolate place where you can pray. For me, it's my recliner. In the mornings, I get up and have coffee, and I turn on a lamp, and that's where I meet with God. For some of you, it's going to be different. For some of you, it may be driving to work or dropping your kids off, or better yet, after you drop your kids off at school, you can have a better prayer time or a more in-depth prayer time. Maybe it's a small portion as you're getting ready, but I would say this, believer, you need a regular slot, a scheduled appointment in which you meet with your Heavenly Father. If Jesus prioritized it, what does that say for you and I? You say, well, Pastor, you gave us one scripture that says he prayed. That's not a regular basis. In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, the supporting verse for that, it says, but he would withdraw to desolate places, plural, and pray. Jesus had this holy habit of wanting to spend time with his Heavenly Father. He wanted to pray on a regular basis, and wherever he went in ministry, he was finding a place and a time to spend with God. Matthew chapter 14, not only praying on a regular basis, but more than that, in Matthew 14, verse 13, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. Not only can we pray on a regular basis, but in prayer, we can find comfort as well as prepare for the future by praying. In the text, verse 13, when it says that when Jesus heard this, the event it's referring to is the death of his cousin, John the Baptist. His cohort in blood and also ministry, John, preached against Herod. And for that, he was executed, he was murdered, imprisoned, and then martyred. It says, when Jesus heard this, he went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Of all the things Jesus could have done after hearing his friend, his family, his cohort had been murdered, of all the things he could have done, he chose prayer. It was not rage. It was not bitterness. And if you're like me, I'm going to think of a plan of revenge. This guy did us wrong. He did me wrong. What can I do against him? And Jesus does none of those things. Jesus goes and spends time with his Father, spending time with him. Why did he go to his Father? There's this wonderful happening when we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, because in prayer we can find healing. That's why we pray for people before surgery. Or people call us and say, can you pray for us? We need healing. In prayer, there's this wonderful turning point when God does miraculous things. He gives us healing. He gives us comfort. He gives us solace. And only then, when you come to the Father, can you receive those things. He is waiting for you to come to him. And here is this fascinating aspect of prayer. God wants us to come to him with all of our baggage or pain, and God wants to take all of that from us. so that we can have healing and comfort and solace. Prayer is for a time of healing. It's a turning point. But also when Jesus prayed in verse 13 of Matthew 14, his prayer time is cut short when the multitude finds him. In his ministry, he's healed many, he's fed. And this is right before the feeding of the 5,000. Sometimes in our prayer life, we come for comfort and healing. And not only that, but God is preparing us for the future. Have you had this fascinating experience when you're reading in the Word and you're praying, you're like, man, this is so great. I wonder why God is teaching me this. And then during that day, you realize, God, you got me ready for this event or this encounter or this person based upon my time with you. You see, before Jesus was even through praying, he was being prepared to go feed the multitude, 5,000 men, plus women and children, so maybe like 12,000 people, roughly the size of Neosho. But before the miracle ever occurs, Jesus is praying. We all want the miracle. I wonder about the prayer. Perhaps God is withholding something supernatural, a breakthrough. I hate to use those self-help words, until we've spent time in prayer. His prayer time was cut short, but he still had some time with the Heavenly Father. You know, we talk about have a quiet time, have devotion time, have prayer time. For some of us, that's different. Sometimes our sleep habits are off. Sometimes we deal with issues. And I'm very sensitive to this. Whenever you have young children, that is one of the hardest times to have a consistent quiet time. Because you say, I'm going to get up earlier than my kids. And then you find yourself at 2 o'clock watching cartoons. Like, what am I doing? Listen, even if it's a short time, have some time with our Heavenly Father. And it may have been a long time since you had a devotion time or a quiet time. Just start spending time with your Father. Just talk to him. Spend time in just read some of the scripture. Mark chapter 6, let's move along. Verses 30 and 32. This is before the feeding of the 5,000. This is the complementary verses or the coordinating verses from Matthew 14 and Mark 6 that parallel. Mark records things a bit differently through the memoirs of Peter. It says, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Here's this third insight we gain or garner from Christ. We partner with others and encourage them through prayer. Jesus had his personal, private time with the Father. But I love the way he wanted to include the apostles with him in a portion. And then he wants to send them out. Now, Luke chapter 9, verse 10 will not be on the screens, but that's the supporting verse for this. They came to Jesus, had some time with him, and then Jesus, in essence, said, okay, you guys go find your desolate place, spend time with the Father. They were with him for just a short amount of time. This is go out, get your own personal devotion time. You see, this is before the feeding of the 5,000. And what is unique, all these different individuals are praying individually, but then collectively they're all going to the Father in prayer, knowing they have partners in prayer. So what's the significance of the timing? I'm glad you asked. This is before the miracle. Now, unbeknownst to the apostles, they have no clue what Jesus is about to do. In fact, they have no clue what they are about to partner with Jesus. They have no clue that he's about to do something so grand, they have no clue. But Jesus says, before we get to this feeding, this great miracle, let's talk about prayer. Guys, go out and spend time with the Father. We can pray on a regular basis, find comfort, also prepare. We can partner, we can encourage. But let me give you the last from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter. This is after the feeding of the 5,000. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening came, he was there alone. Here's the fourth insight we see from Jesus about prayer. In prayer, we reflect on God's goodness and experience renewal. You think of the feeding of the 5,000, taking some meager portions of food, blessing them, multiplying, distributing them. There's leftovers. The people wanted to make Jesus the king, the Messiah. Of all the things Jesus could have done, he chose to pray. The power of God is manifest in his testimony, his account. It says, hey, we can go do more miracles. We can go do greater things. We can go do teachings. We can go preach Jesus. If you remember, the disciples did not ask Jesus, teach us to preach. What'd they say? Teach us to pray. After Jesus did a miracle, demonstrated his handiwork as the servant of the Most High, he goes to the mountain, and there he is praying. He did not stay busy in the happenings of life. Because here's a great principle. It's okay to slow down and reflect on God's goodness. We're all guilty of that. We got to be busy. We got to do this. When is this schedule? When is this practice? When do I have to be at this appointment? It's good to stop and to slow down and to pray. And I believe God is reflecting on the goodness of God. God the Son is. But after the feeding, Jesus prays. One of the best ways you can rest physically and spiritually is to pray. One of the best things you can do for yourself is to spend time in prayer and just reflect on how good God is. And when we do that, we find ourselves in a pattern or a cycle of renewal where we can find God's blessings, we find strength. Before the next leg of the journey, we got to spend time in prayer. Now, the next leg of the journey for the apostles, they're going to be out on a boat. It's not going to be fun. They're going to be scared, and Jesus is going to show up and walk on water, another miracle. Before the next miracle, Jesus is praying, and I believe he is praying for his apostles. I believe he's praying to teach them and to mold them. Why are we so busy to go on to the next leg of the journey? Oh, we're in week number two. We got to keep on moving. Here's the next agenda. Here's the task. Why can't we just slow down and pray and look back on God's goodness? Now, this is not a vision Sunday, but I look back at 2023, and I'm not going to take a whole message for this. I could summarize last year for our church saying, we had some hard times, we had some great times, but I will say this, we're going to reflect on the goodness of God. He has been good to us. And so why do I got to get busy with 2024 and come up with events and a calendar and worry about all these scheduling things without stopping to pray? Maybe you haven't taken the time to pray. In Matthew's gospel, 6th chapter, verse 6, not if you pray, when you pray. The text says, when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and your Father who's in secret will meet with you and he will reward you. Maybe you've never prayed before in your life. Maybe you're listening online. Or maybe you're here in attendance, you've never prayed to God. You never talked to him. And here's the way you start. You start through Jesus. You know that he died on the cross for your sins. If you believe in him, confess that from your heart, you'll be saved. You'll be made new. Maybe not just prayer, but maybe decisions. Maybe you've pushed some stuff off saying, I'm going to do that later. Not now, I'll do that some other day, some other time. But maybe there are some decisions you need to make. In regards to prayer, I want all of us to make sure we have a secret place, a desolate place where we meet with God. A time and a place where you, the mortal, meet with the immortal, the finite meets with the divine, and where you can have comfort and peace and solace. Just because you pray doesn't mean you're immune to life's problems, but it means you're meeting with God and he's going to handle them. What would it look like if we broke out as a church and we prayed? And maybe you say, Pastor, in all honesty, it's not desolation I'm concerned with. It's desperation. Maybe there's something so harsh in your life right now, you have no other option but to cry out to God. I dealt with that this week. Talking to someone on the phone. What else do I do, Pastor? And I was going to get to the, hey, let's pray about this. And that person said, we need to pray. Man, and God worked out that situation. Something beyond our control. If we look back at 2023, we could say as a church family, through prayer, God did some great things, and we're going to reflect on that goodness. When's the last time you spent time in prayer? In fact, and part of the invitation time, let's take some time to pray. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, make this your desolate place. Make it a secret time between you and God. Spend a few moments speaking with him. Give him your hurt. Give him your insecurity. Maybe you're praying about some things that are unknown and uncertain. Give him all your insecurities and uncertainties. Spend time with your Heavenly Father. And in just a moment, Pastor Aaron will give direction as far as the invitation goes. But spend a few moments meeting with God. Give him yourself. Give him this year. Give him everything. Spend time. He's been wanting to spend time with you.